So we're going to look at the next two steps, steps 8 and 9 now, as getting us right in our relationship with the world and everything in it. Nobody likes to do these things. I don't know of anybody that ever really wanted to go back and make a bunch of amends. I don't know of anybody that really likes to apologize or take today's money and pay back from things in the past. The question is, can we or can we not live without doing steps 8 and 9? You see, this storeroom in the back of my head that's filled with shame, guilt, and remorse associated with the people I've hurt in the past, I haven't emptied it out yet. I emptied out the resentments. I emptied out the fears. But the guilt and the remorse is still back there. So now then, I'm going to start working on that room, empty it out, and then God will be able to enter that part of my mind also. Now in the beginning, if you read the forewords, it looks like Dr. Bob never took another drink after Bill called on him. But really he did. He got drunk one more time. Shortly after Bill called on him and they got started together, he felt it necessary that he go to a medical convention. And Ann, his wife, begged Bill not to let him go. Said, Bill, if he goes over there, he'll get drunk. Said, he does it every year. And Bill said, well, that's all right. If he gets drunk, we'll do something about that. That he's going to have to learn to live in society where there's plenty of alcohol. Turn him loose. Dr. Bob went over there and got drunk. And when he came back, he showed up at his nurse's home drunk. Now, Bill and Ann are waiting at Dr. Bob's house. The nurse calls them and said, come and get him. He's drunk. Said, take him home and sober him up. Said, he got surgery in the morning. He's the only doctor on staff that can perform this particular surgery. As Joe said, he was a proctologist. I'm glad he wasn't working on my procto the next morning. They got him, took him home, sobered him up. The next morning, Bill took him to the hospital. And in the parking lot of the hospital, Dr. Bob said, Bill, I can't do this surgery. I'm sick. I'm shaking. I'm trembling. I'm going to hurt somebody. Bill reached in the back seat of the car and got out a bottle of beer and popped the cap on it and said, drink this and you'll be all right. Dr. Bob went upstairs, performed the surgery, and sure enough, it came out okay. The only problem is he disappeared. Bill's waiting on him in the parking lot, waits for hours. He doesn't show up. Bill goes back to Dr. Bob's house. Bill and Ann wait all afternoon. Late that evening, Dr. Bob shows up. Bill assumed he would be drunk. He assumed the beer triggered the allergy and he was off drinking. But Dr. Bob showed up sober. Bill said, where in the hell have you been? Dr. Bob said, I've been going up and down both sides of the street making my amends to those I've harmed in the past. That beer that morning was the last drink Dr. Bob ever took. You see, he was ashamed of his alcoholism. He was afraid that if people knew he was an alcoholic, that he would lose his profession. He didn't have hardly any left anyhow. But the day he made his amends, that was the day he took his last drink. If it's good enough for him, probably good enough for me also. Let's look at steps 8 and 9 to get us right in our relationship with the world and everything in it. Joe?
You know, in our discussions, so many times we talk about steps 8 or 9, we end up talking about making amends and how we did it. But step 8 is there for a particular reason, so we'll do step 8 first, and then we'll talk about 9. You know, it says, now we need more action without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps 8 and 9. So we have a list of all persons we had harmed. Well, where do we get that list from? All those people on column 1 through all those inventory sheets. Now we just take them off of that list and put them on one long list. Haven't made any amends yet. We just took them off the list, made one long list out of it. And to whom we're willing to make amends. And if we're not willing, we ask God to help us to become willing. We made it when we took an inventory. We subjected ourselves to a drastic self-appraisal. Again, we look in the fourth column and see those things that we did. We were selfish, dishonest, inconsiderate, self-seeking, and frightened. Those are the things that we look at. And we see how we've harmed other people by those items. So now we're about to go out to our fellows and repair the damage. We attempt to sweep away the debris which accumulate out of our effort to live on self-will and run the show ourselves. If we haven't the will to do this, we ask until it comes. More prayer. See, I haven't made any amends yet. I've just made a list, and now I've become willing to the list. And if I'm not willing, then I ask God to help me to become willing. Still haven't made any amends yet. That's the importance of step eight first. You know, there's a little story that I don't like to tell on myself, but I must. But a few months ago, I went into this grocery store, and I bought a few groceries, and I gave this lady a $10 bill. And she gave me change for a $20 bill. And I stood right there and watched her do it, and I knew she was doing it. Well, I grabbed that $20, change from it, and slammed it in my pocket and run out the door and got out in my car. And I sat there, and I said, my God, I've sold out for 10 bucks. I thought it was worth more than that. But I felt terrible. So I went back into the store and I told that lady, I said, look, you counted me too much change and I want to give you $10 back. And I said, I'm a member of a fellowship that requires me to do that. And she said, I've never heard of a fellowship like that. But the point is, when I went out of the store the next time, I felt good. I felt real good that I did the right thing. I was wrong and I went back and I paid the lady back. That's why I do these things. That's why I make amends, just to set right or wrong. I feel good, but that's not the primary reason to do this. It's because it is right. It's just right to set right a wrong. That's what amendment means. You know, we have amendments to our Constitution from time to time. And it says we just make right a wrong. That's all.
Of course, the real important point on that little story is he's practicing steps 6 and 7, too. Now, here he had an opportunity to be honest instead of dishonest. And with God's help, he forced himself to be honest. Now, the next time, it's going to be harder for him to pick up that $10 and carry it out.
I hope.
You do that long enough, you change. Now, as we look at step 9 now, we've made our list, we've become willing to the list, and now then we see about making the amends themselves. Step 9 tells us the kind of amends to make. We made direct amends. It tells us when to make them, wherever possible. It tells us when not to make them, except when to do so would injure them or others. So let's look at these three things involved in step 9, and we're going to find for the next few pages, Bill deals with these things paragraph by paragraph by paragraph, which is his usual way of doing things. Let's see what he means by made direct amends. The book's going to give us an example of two kinds of direct amends. One kind, we believe, is eyeball to eyeball, face to face, one on one. The purpose of me making these amends is really not to make other people like me. Hopefully they will when I'm through. But the real purpose is to get rid of my guilt, my remorse, and my fear associated with that thing. If I write you a letter, I'm never quite sure how you received it. I'm still afraid of what you're going to do next time I run into you. I'm not sure I've done my utmost. If I call you on the telephone, I've got the same situation. But if I go see you, wherever you might be, your home, your office, your wherever, and I sit down with you eyeball to eyeball, face to face, one on one, and make my amends, when I'm through with it, I never have to worry about it again. You will have done all you're going to do to me, plus I've done my utmost. He deals with that kind of amend on page 77, second paragraph, middle of the paragraph. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise.
You know, in this area of making amends, this is just an opinion of mine, but I think I need my sponsor here more than ever, because I'm about to try to repair some damage that I've done, and I'm going to make sure that I'm doing it in the right way. And my zeal sometimes to go out and apologize or to make amends or to set right or wrong, I may harm other people in doing so if some of those things were disclosed. So I need to talk these over with another human being, find out which way and what way is the best way to do this. The question of how to approach the man we hated will arise. It may be he has done us more harm than we've done him. And though we may have acquired a better attitude toward him, we are not too keen about admitting our faults. Nevertheless, with a person we dislike, we take the bit in our teeth. It's harder to go to an enemy than to a friend, but we find it much more beneficial to us. We go to him in a helpful and forgiving spirit, confessing our former ill feeling and expressing our regret. Under no condition do we criticize such a person or argue. Simply we tell him that we will never get over drinking till we've done our utmost to straighten out the past. We're there to sweep off our side of the street, realizing that nothing worthwhile can be accomplished until we do so. Never trying to tell him what he should do. His faults are not discussed. We stick to our own. Now, if our manner is calm, frank, and open, we will be gratified with the results. In 9 cases out of 10, the unexpected happens. Sometimes the man we are calling upon admits his own faults, so feuds of years standing melt away in an hour. Rarely do we fail to make satisfactory progress. Our former enemies sometimes praise what we're doing and wish us well. Occasionally they will offer assistance. It should not matter, however, if someone does throw us out of his office. We've made our demonstration, done our part. It's water over the dam. And that area always reminds me of the amends that I made to my cousin. I was in a restaurant one day, and I'd never been in that restaurant before, and I haven't been in that restaurant since. Come to find out, it was the same for Gary. Well, Gary came in that restaurant, and I saw him at the door, and I thought, well, this must be the wherever. Well, that certainly wasn't whenever. It was wherever possible. And I motioned Gary to come over, and he came over reluctantly. Now, Gary and I had been enemies for many, many, many years, and every time we got together anywhere near close, we physically fought. Believe me, he was just like me. So I motioned him over, and he came, and he sat down reluctantly. And I told Gary, I said, Gary, I want to apologize to you for all those things that I've done in the past. I ask you to forgive me for all the fights and the things that's happened to us. And he said, you know, I've been wanting to ask you to do that same thing for me. All that just went away. Now, the upshot of this story is that Gary comes to Alcoholics Anonymous from time to time. Not often. He used to be a daily drinker. Now he's a periodic. He's making progress. So Gary, when he comes to Alcoholics Anonymous, he comes to the group that I attend. And when he comes, he sits to my right, and he and I visit about this program. That couldn't have ever happened unless these amends were made. We set right or wrong. Our relationship is good. And hopefully someday, I pray that he'll get sober.
Eyeball to eyeball, face to face, one on one. Now, if that will work with an enemy, one that you hate, surely it would work with somebody that you just kind of dislike them. Surely it would work with somebody you just really don't care too much about them. Surely it would work with one you like. And surely it would work with one you love also.